During this second session, we're going to look at how the Sage Popular Accounting System works on your Amstrad computer. By the end of the session, you'll be ready to start working through the Sage tutorial booklet on your own. Now, you'll need some disks for that, so let's start straight away by getting you to create the disks you need. Make sure you have your working copy of the CPM system, your master Sage Soft disk with popular accounts on one side and the rolling demo on the other, and the disk you formatted during part one of this program. Remember, you labeled it Programs. Have your Sage Soft accounts manual and some paper and a pencil handy as well. Switch your computer on and boot the system. Stop the tape until you get the A prompt back on screen. Take your CPM disk out of the drive and replace it with the SageSoft disk labeled Popular Accounts. I'll refer to this disk as your Master Accounts Program disk. Now, key in the word Accounts and press Return. If someone has used the program before you, the name and address of your company will appear on the screen after a few moments. If you're using the disk for the very first time, you'll be asked to type in your company name and address, and you'll have to do that before you can go any further. But be careful, because whatever you type in now will stay on the disk, and on any copies you make of it. You can't change it. You'll see several prompts inviting you to key in your company details and press return each time. Check everything you type in before you press the return key to move on to the next prompt. If you've made an error, you can edit your mistake with the delete key and by retyping, providing you haven't pressed return. Stop the tape while you key in your company details and start it again when you've finished. You'll get a prompt asking you to insert your ledgers disk. Stop the tape now. Tap the exit key and you'll get the A prompt back on screen. Replace your accounts program disk with your CPM disk. And when you're ready, we'll use PIP again. Just key in the letters PIP and press return. You'll get the asterisk prompt on screen, which tells you PIP is loaded into the computer's memory and it's running. And that means you can take the CPM disk out of the drive. So do that now. Put your master accounts program disk on the desk to the right of the computer, and we'll treat it as disk B. Now, put your empty programs disk, the one you labeled, to the left, and that can be disk A. And now, key in a command to PIP. What I want you to do is copy all the files from disk B, the master accounts program disk, and put the copies on your empty programs disk, disk A. So the command you need to key in response to the asterisk prompt, destination equals source, remember, is A colon, an equals sign, followed by B colon, followed by a template which will match all the files on disk B. That's asterisk dot asterisk. Now, if you have a twin drive machine, put your empty programs disk in drive A and your master accounts program disk in drive B. When you press return, the computer will take you through a process just like the one when you copied all the COM files onto the disk. So when I prompt you to stop the tape, I want you to press return and then follow the screen prompts, changing disks if you're asked to. Remember, you will have to copy the files onto the A disk, the one you labelled programs. When you get PIP's asterisk prompt again, that's when you should restart the tape. If you're ready, stop the tape and now copy all the files from disk B onto disk A. Stop the tape now. You should have PIP's asterisk prompt on screen now, so simply hold down the key labelled ALT and then tap the letter C to get back to the A prompt. Take the disk you labelled Programs and add the words Sage Popular Accounts, followed by a dash, Working Disk. Sage Popular Accounts dash Working Disk. So now you have your day-to-day copies of the CPM system disk and the Sage Accounts working disk. You still need the SageSoft master disk to hand because you'll need the rolling demo side in a few minutes, so put it in its case next to the computer. You need one more disk to hold all the data you'll be generating when you create and use your ledgers. For our purposes, and for when you work through the Sage tutorial, if you have a single drive machine, you can use the other side of the Sage Accounts working disk you've just created. But when you start doing your real accounts, you'll need to create a quite separate ledgers disk. If you have a twin drive machine, you'll need to create a separate ledgers disk and put it in drive B. Now, if you remember, you need to format the disk before you can use it. So that means you need the Diskit program, and that means you need to put your CPM disk in drive A. Key in DISCKIT and press return. If you have a single drive machine, tap the spacebar. As soon as the screen display settles down, remove the disk from the drive. Once again, if you have a prompt on screen asking you to press any key to continue, tap the spacebar. Now put your account's working disk in drive A with the blank side to the left. Double check or you might destroy the account's working disk. When you're sure it's okay, tap the key labelled F3, F4. If you have a twin drive machine, tap F3, F4 again. Press the letter Y and you'll see the computer begin to format the disk. Stop the tape now. Start the tape again when you get the message on screen telling you the format is complete. Now the formatting process is complete, you can take the disk from the drive. And then tap the return key. Tap return again. And now tap the exit key. Before you do anything else, take the disk you've just formatted and in pencil, label it data and a dash. Then, accounts demo ledger disk. Data dash accounts demo ledger disk. Stop the tape if you need to. So we'd better have a look at how the Sage system works. You'll need the SageSoft rolling demo on the reverse side of the SageSoft program disk. So take the disk and put it in the drive with rolling demo to the left. Now key in, all as one word, Sage Demo and press return. The SAGE demo program is a simulation of the SAGE popular accounts system. It will give you a feel for what it's like to work with the system proper. You can just sit back and watch while someone else fills in the transactions for you. I'll be telling you what's happening as we go along. Don't touch any keys unless I tell you to. Now, if you've never had any formal training in bookkeeping, one or two of the terms I'll be using may be new to you, so I want to establish the terminology before we start. And the display you have on screen now is a good starting point. That's the display you'll get every time you start up your SAGE system. It's the opening or main accounts menu, a list of things you can choose from. Now, if you want to be able to find the start of my commentary quickly, and if you have a counter on your tape recorder, set it to zero now. You can see there are seven options on the menu, if you include option zero. In this case, option zero takes you out of the accounts program and back to the operating system, and that's a standard procedure with the system. Option zero on a menu takes you back to where you just came from. Here it's back to the operating system, but as you work your way into the program, option zero will usually take you back to the previous menu. When you want to finish working with your SAGE system, always work your way back through the menus until you end up with the system prompt. That way you won't corrupt the work you've done, as you might well do if you were to simply reboot your system. The SAGE system has layers of menus, as you'll see if you look at the block diagram on the inside cover of your accounts manual. You'll notice that when you select an option from the main menu, the one on screen now, the system gives you access to a range of similar activities that have been grouped together for your convenience. As you know, all businesses need to keep records of their transactions, for legal reasons, for tax purposes, but also for management control. Many small firms make do with keeping a note of their sales and their purchases and rely on a good memory and judgment to tell them how the firm's doing. But what happens if the boss's memory isn't as good as it might be? Or if his judgment isn't sound? And what happens when the firm grows and the number of separate transactions rises to the level where there are too many for one person to remember? What happens to management control? To be safe, even small firms need a bit more than a note of the firm's sales and purchases. And with the popular account system, it's easy for the tiniest of firms to keep their financial matters under tight control. As you can see from the main menu, the system enables you to create three different ledgers. A purchase ledger, that's a bought ledger if you prefer, but we'll be calling it the purchase ledger. A sales ledger, and a nominal ledger. The purchase ledger is where you keep a record of all your suppliers. You create a separate account for each one that tells you what you've bought from a particular supplier and when, as well as how much the item cost and when you paid for them. The sales ledger holds records for all your customers, what you've invoiced them for and when, how much you charge them, and whether they've paid you or not. So you'll have detailed information about your customers and your suppliers with these two ledgers. The nominal ledger, some people call it the general ledger, provides you with detailed information about your own business. It's where SAGE keeps records of the types of expenditure and the types of income. And it also provides you with records of, and therefore information about, how the various transactions affect your projected budgets, your trading position, your profit and loss position, and your balance sheet. So, you keep the sales and purchase ledgers up to date by keying in the details of invoices you've sent out and invoices you've received. The SAGE system automatically updates the relevant parts of the nominal ledger for you. But of course there are always some transactions which won't involve the sales and purchase ledgers. Things like wages and salary payments, standing orders, petty cash, and I'm sure you can think of others that apply to your firm. Well, the Sage system caters for them as well. If you look at the right-hand column of the menu, you'll see you can get a range of management reports, printouts, which will help you keep track of precisely what's happening in the business. So that, very briefly, is a summary of what you'll be able to do with the Sage system. So how does it work? As I said before, the menu on screen is the starting point for your work with the system. This menu gives you access to all parts of the system. So the idea is you start here, select a particular kind of activity, carry out the work, and then you'll return here, where you can either select another type of activity or go back to the operating system if you don't want to do anything else. Each one of the options on this menu, and others, has a number against it. You select the option you want by keying in the number and then pressing either the return key or the enter key. For example, when you start to set up your own system, you'll have to select the Create Ledgers option, option 1. You'd normally key in the number 1 and then press, say, return. Well, as this is a simulation, all you have to do here to move on is press the return key, so do that now. Now, whenever you hear that double tone from now on, it means I want you to press the return key. Now you have access to a group of related activities. You can set up accounts for your suppliers by allocating purchase accounts, each supplier's account with its own account number, or set up accounts for your customers by allocating sales accounts in exactly the same way. And we can look at that now by pressing return. We'll imagine SageSoft is a customer of yours, and we'll open an account for them in the sales ledger. The first thing we'll do is give them an account reference, an account number. Number 123. Now, there are some simple rules for how you number purchase and sales accounts, and you'll find details in your manual. For the moment, just accept that the number 123 is okay here. Now, the account name is the SageSoft PLC account. And now the address. Press return. And we can go straight on to look at the posting routines, though in reality you'd actually have to go back through the main menu first. Once you get your system set up properly, this is the option you'll be using most, to enter the details of the various transactions that have occurred. You can see you can post the details of sales and purchases, as well as various receipts and payments which don't involve the sales and purchase ledgers. We'll look at how the various posting routines work, and we'll start by entering the details of a sales invoice which we've sent out to one of our customers. Press return. When you select this option, you start off with this blank screen. It's like a blank form with lots of lines. You fill in one line for each lot of details you want to enter. First, the customer's reference code, the account number you've assigned to the customer. We'll make out a line for a sale we've made to SageSoft. Their number, if you remember, is 123. As soon as you enter the number, the account system flashes up the name it has for that reference number at the top of the screen. That's your way of cross-checking you're putting the details into the right accounts. Next, you enter the date of the invoice, just the numbers that make up the date, 2 for the day of the month, 2 for the month itself, and 2 for the year. So the date on screen is the 15th of January, 1985. Now the invoice number, that's your invoice number. and the nominal code. Here we're using the code number 100, which, as you'll see by the second cross-check at the top of the screen, is the number we've assigned to a particular category of sales, hardware sales as opposed to software or miscellaneous sales. Next, brief details of what we've sold them. A microcomputer. And the net price, followed by the tax code. Here, the tax code 1, which is for 15%. As you'll see, when you start working with the manual, you can key in these details so the account system will work out the tax amount automatically. Now, stop the tape and watch as the simulator fills in some more details for you. Have a close look at the entries, and when you're ready to move on, start the tape again. Stop the tape now. Press the return key, and we can move on. By the way, when you want to enter the details of any credit notes you've issued, you'll find it's the same procedure as entering a sales invoice. Well, the hoped-for result when you send out an invoice is that eventually you'll receive a check. So let's look at how you handle that with the Sales Receipts option on the Posting Routines menu. You'll know how much the check is for, and you'll also know who it's from. So you can start by entering the background details. It's from SageSoft PLC, so the account reference is 123. It's dated the 22nd of January 1985, and we'll assume the check number happens to be 876743. The account system will show you all the amounts that are outstanding in account number 123. By the way, the transaction numbers on the left of the display are generated automatically by the account system. They're needed for the audit trail. Now, you select which invoice or invoices you want to mark as paid by keying in the transaction number which appears against the invoice. You can pay an invoice off in full, or you can part pay, and you can allocate credit notes against particular invoices. I want you to stop the tape and have a look at the display. Start it again when you're ready to go on. Stop the tape now. When you've allocated the whole amount of the check and there's none left over, you can exit from this activity. For the purposes of this simulation, we'll skip straight to looking at what happens when you select Sales and Purchase Ledger Reports from the main menu. We won't go through the main menu, though you'll have to when you're doing it for real. Press the return key now. We'll start by looking at sales, but remember the purchase ledger has the same types of procedure, except they're a mirror image of the sales. Let's have a look at the balances on the various sales accounts. Press return. On the left, you can see the account references for your customers. Then you get the name of the account, the customer's name. And in the last column, how much they owe you. Remember, this is a listing of the account balances, so it won't show you all your customers, just those who owe you money at the moment. Now, this type of display is fine for a quick view of what's happening. But if you're going to be really in control of the credit you're giving people, you need more information. You need to know how long the money has been outstanding from a particular customer. So you need a listing that gives you the ages of the various amounts, and you get that by selecting option 4 from the Sales and Purchase Ledger Reports menu. This option will give you a printout on paper, but If you press return now, you can see a simulation of it on your screen. Once again, have a look at that display. Start the tape again when you're ready to go on, but stop the tape now. If, when you take a printout like this, you decide you want to examine one of the accounts in more detail, you can do so from the Sales and Purchases Ledger Reports menu. Press Return. If you select Option 2, you can see all the transactions that have been posted to a particular account. We'll look at our old friend 123 again. The accounting system displays all the transactions for that account, including credit notes and payments received. So now you've seen nearly all the routines for the sales ledger. And in fact, you've seen the routines for the purchase ledger as well, because they're identical. But there is one left. Because the accounts program keeps records of your customers' addresses, keeps a sales history for each account, and keeps an aged debtors list, it can put all that information together and produce statements that you can send out to each of your customers. In fact, SageSoft can supply you with special stationery for the purpose. Contact SageSoft direct for more details. Press Return now. And we can go on to look at the nominal ledger posting routines. As I said earlier, many of the postings to the nominal ledger are made automatically. The accounts system knows where to post things because you supply it with the account codes when you make the entries in the sales and purchase ledgers. But don't forget that you'll have to make some entries, ones which don't involve the sales or purchase ledgers. For example, how do you handle petty cash? Well, it's a bank payment. And that option's highlighted on the menu, so press the return key now. ATH is the nominal account number we've used for petty cash. The rest of the entries speak for themselves, except perhaps for the column headed TC, tax code, which here is 9, or in other words, no tax. Once again, you can make several entries in a batch, and if you press the return key now, the simulation will fill in some for you. Stop the tape until it's finished. Stop the tape now. If you're ready, press the return key now. You handle bank receipts in a similar way. Now, from time to time, you may want to transfer amounts between two nominal accounts. For example, if you discover you've posted something to the wrong account. It's bad practice to delete entries, so Sage won't let you do it. Instead, you'll need to make a journal entry and keep a record of any changes you make. This is how it works. Press the return key. The simulation will make some typical journal entries for you. Start the tape again when the display settles down and when you've had a chance to look closely at the entries. Stop the tape now. Once you start this routine, you can't exit until the debit and credit entries cancel each other out. In other words, until you've accounted for the whole amount and the book's balance. You've seen the reports that are available for the sales and purchase ledgers. Press Return. As you'd expect, you can get a printout of all the nominal codes and account names, but you can also get such things as a trial balance. And here's what one looks like. Notice the debit side equals the credit side. You can also get a listing of all the transactions posted to each nominal account, like this one. For nominal account number 100, which you might remember is for hardware sales. Once more, stop the tape while you have a look at that display. Stop the tape now. Now press return. With option 5 on the accounts and management reports menu, you produce the figures for your VAT return. With option 6, you can get a management report comparing actual expenditure and income with the budgeted amounts. Option 4 from the same menu gives you a profit and loss account. Have a good look at that display. Notice in particular that you get a statement of your net profit for 1 month and for the year to date. Stop the tape and start it again when you're ready. Stop the tape now. Press return just once more and we'll get back to Sage's opening or main menu. And there you are. You've had a whistle-stop tour of the popular account system. As you can see, it's pretty comprehensive. I hope you can also see that you'll have to do some groundwork before you start to set the system up for your own company. You'll need to draw up a list of your customers and a list of your suppliers, and give every one an account reference number. Make sure you work through the Sage tutorial. It will give you an even better idea of how it feels to use the system. If you're going to make mistakes, it's better to make them with some imaginary accounts rather than with your own real accounts. Before you start setting up the system for your own accounts, make sure you read the SageSoft manual, because you'll probably need to know some things that aren't immediately obvious, like how to treat HP payments and how to enter opening balances. The procedures aren't difficult, but you do need to get them right. I'd advise you to discuss your new system with your accountants. In fact, if you've never used a nominal ledger before, I'd advise you most strongly to talk it through with them, and perhaps even get them to help you set it up. One final practical tip. When you start using your system, you're going to want printouts on paper. Now, it's far easier to use continuous stationery rather than single sheets of paper, but it does mean you'll have to set your printer up for the purpose. Well, that's easy enough to do, and perhaps you'd like to make a note. First of all, fit the tractor feed onto the printer and load the paper. Then, when you start up your computer system, with the CPM disk still in the drive, key in this command. The word paper, followed by a space. Then the letter C for continuous, followed by a comma. Then the letter D for defaults. When you press return, your hardware will be ready to work with continuous paper until the next time you reboot your computer. Rebooting will set it back to single sheet operation again. If you want to run through the simulation again, it's all ready to go. If you want my commentary as well, you'll have to rewind this tape back to the zero setting. Otherwise, that's all from me. It's time for you to work through the SAGE tutorial booklet. To stop the rolling demo, put your copy of the CPM system disk in the drive and reboot your computer system. Shift and extra and tap exit. Then you'll be ready to load your accounts program disk and get going with the tutorial. So goodbye and good luck with your SAGE popular account system. Wind this tape onto the end and take it out of the recorder.